You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 14th of January, 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAlbion.com. Well, we've had a report out today looking into grooming gangs, basically, and looking into the reasons why the investigation was called off in Manchester. This investigation was actually called for by the mayor of Manchester, Andy Burnham, and the report is out today, or the first half of the report is out today. And of course, it proves everything that we've been saying, that political correctness prevented these cases from being properly investigated. The police and the social workers did not want to be called racist, basically. The report admits that it was predominantly Asian suspects, but the details that I've managed to find about it so far don't really admit the proper reason, and that's because it's been produced at the BBC website, and the BBC try to cover these things up. I think I'm going to have difficulty covering it up with this one, though. I mean, we had the report before into the 1,400 girls that were raped at Rotherham. And that it was quite obvious from that, that it was through fear of being accused of being Islamophobic or a fear of being accused of being racist that all these girls were failed. And this report itself came about because of the BBC drama that they made about these young girls that were being groomed. I haven't actually seen the drama myself. I pretty much only watch the news on BBC. Police and social workers investigating child sex exploitation in Manchester knew children were suffering the most profound abuse but did not protect them, a report has found. After a child's death in 2003, police identified at least 97 predominantly Asian suspects, but very few faced justice, the independent review found. I wonder what ethnicity the other suspects were, if they were predominantly Asian. We know that the predominant ethnicity in Britain for these grooming gangs is Pakistani. We know that in Finland, the predominant ethnicity is Somali. In France, I guess they probably have a different one. In Holland, it's Moroccan. One thing they all have in common is, of course, that they are non-white, and also that they are Muslims. And the counter-jihad movement likes to make a big point about this and claims that it's an Islamic problem. But we do see the same problem happening in countries in Africa where they're not Muslims, where they claim to be Christians. And we see the same problem happening in India where they are Hindus. There is a rape problem with non-whites. Also recently in the news is this these Saudi airmen in America. And one of the Saudi airmen carried out a terrorist attack, and the others have all been asked to leave now. And something like, 20 out of 24 of them were found to have extremist jihadi literature on them, and 17 out of them were found to have child pornography on their computers. And these are Saudi Arabian airmen that have been sent to America for training. Obviously, at the top of their game out there in Saudi Arabia. And yet they're all interested in child pornography. I mean, there is a serious problem with rape and also with child abuse in these communities. And now this problem is in our communities, picking on our children. It doesn't say here, but it doesn't say the victims were predominantly white, but we know that they were white. If there's a choice between grooming a white girl or grooming a Muslim girl, they're going to groom the white girl because that is culturally acceptable to them. That is encouraged in the Quran, or it's encouraged in a certain interpretation of the Quran, the interpretation that Wahhabi Muslims have. Obviously not what the moderate Muslims have, this new branch of Islam that is pretty much unique to Britain and other Western countries, and which will probably fade away, or quite clearly would fade away, if the country actually became Muslim, because that's the interpretation that they have in Saudi Arabia, which is the head of the Muslim world. The Wahhabism, the extremist Islam, that's where it all comes from. There's very little difference between what ISIS do and what the Saudis do, and yet we are allied with the Saudis for some bizarre reason. Money, basically. And it doesn't tell us the exact ethnicity of the suspects here. It just says predominantly Asian. And of course, that insults the Japanese and the Chinese, who don't really seem to have a problem with rape in their communities or child grooming. In Japan, they do have a rather unhealthy fascination for schoolgirls, but I don't think it spills over into sexual violence in the way that it does in the Indian subcontinent and in Africa. The police operation was prematurely closed down after senior officials decided to remove resources, it said. Police said authorities fell short. That's what needs to be investigated. Why did they decide to remove resources? I mean, that is admitting that they did have the resources to do the investigation, but for some reason, they decided to remove them. Could that be because they didn't want to be accused of being Islamophobic? Could that be because some of the people that were involved in the investigation were related to the people being charged? Don't forget, most of the quote-unquote Asians in Britain are interrelated. Most Muslims tend to marry their cousins or their second cousins, which of course causes a problem with genetic disease. You have a lot of Pakistanis and Bangladeshis in Britain that have genetic diseases which have been caused by inbreeding. So as well as the inbreeding, it means that they are all connected. So if you have a Muslim police officer, chances are he's got somebody in his extended family that might well have been involved in these grooming gangs. We know that there have been Muslim police officers that have been charged with being involved in this. So were the resources removed because of that, or were the resources removed simply because the police didn't want to be accused of racism? Greater Manchester Police Assistant Chief Constable Mabs Hussain said the force was now reviewing all the cases covered in the report and had made a voluntary referral to the Independent Office for Police Conduct to determine if there are any conduct matters that should be investigated. I wonder how the victims of these grooming gangs feel about seeing a Muslim being put in charge of reviewing all of this. It's not very sensitive to what has happened to them, is it, to put the same ethnicity as the people that were raping them in charge of investigating this report to see whether there are any conduct matters that should be investigated. The report, commissioned by Greater Manchester Mayor Andy Burnham, as a result of the 2017 BBC documentary The Betrayed Girls, focused on the death in 2003 of 15-year-old Victoria Agoglia, who was in the care of Manchester City Council and GMP's subsequent Operation Augusta. So she was in the care system. She was somewhere that apparently the authorities are better able to care for a child than the parents. That, you know, that's what really makes this bad, is that these children that this happens to, they've been taken away from their own families. They've been told their own families are not capable of properly looking after them, and they're going to be put with the state to look after. And then the state allows this to happen to them. And I should imagine in most instances, what has happened to them is far worse than what was going on in their family. Victoria's grandmother, Joan Agoglia, said the publication of the report made her feel wonderful, as I've been fighting for this all my life, it seems. Almost 20 years she's been fighting to obtain justice for her granddaughter. I mean, that's how long this has been going on for. It's been going on for longer than that. Mark Cullott was trying to expose this when he first got involved in nationalism. And a lot of the people that were trying to expose it at the time were accused of being racist in the papers. They were accused of just being against Islam. And of course, it was all confirmed as being true in that first Rotherham report. But we haven't seen any apologies in the newspapers. We haven't seen them apologise to Nick Griffin or apologise to Mark Cullott for all these names that they called them and all these accusations they made against them. The operation was set up to tackle the sexual exploitation throughout a wide area of a significant number of children in the care system by predominantly Asian men, it said. It said despite Victoria's carers being aware of her being subjected to multiple threats, sexual assaults, and serious sexual exploitation, and revealing that she was being injected with heroin by an older Asian man, no action was taken by the police or by the social care. And we have heard that accusations have been made against these girls that, they were prostitutes, they were just allowing this to happen to them. But if they're under the age of 16, they are legally children. They're not capable of giving informed consent, let alone being a prostitute. Why would they become a prostitute? Obviously, if they're going to become a prostitute, they've had must have had some terrible things happen to them. And the terrible things that have happened to them won't have been something that their parents did. It's obviously what these grooming gangs did to them. And we can see here what they did to her. They got her taking drugs, they got her taking heroin, they got her addicted to heroin. And then in order to pay for the heroin, they obviously got her to sleep with these older Asian men. She subsequently died, having been administered an overdose. But the men who exploited her have never been brought to justice, the report said, adding that its authors had been denied access to files relating to Victoria by the Manchester coroner. Interesting. Even when carrying out this report, we've still got the Manchester coroner who is trying to cover something up here. At the time she died, Manchester Social Services said it had done everything possible to keep Victoria safe. In 2004, a 50-year-old man was cleared of her manslaughter, but admitted two offences of injecting her with heroin and was jailed. So this is all the Manchester Social Services could do? All they could do was allow the Asian man in there to inject her with heroin? They weren't capable of encouraging the police to investigate this. They weren't capable of moving the girl to a safe part of the country that didn't have these sort of people in it. I mean, this is what the social services should be doing. Wherever it is that they keep these children that are in care, they should be making sure that there's no Asian men there. Surely that would be the best way to keep them safe. Set up a care home for them in a part of the country that is still 99% white, and then they'd be safe. Because that's logical, that's common sense. And because it's common sense, it will be decried as being racist. Can't do that because it's discriminating against Asian men. Never mind the fact that it is predominantly Asian men that are carrying this out. The most logical, sensible way to keep these children safe is to remove them from the multicultural areas. The report said Operation Augusta subsequently identified at least 57 children as potential victims and up to 97 persons of interest involved in the crimes against them. And this is industrial-scale grooming and rape that goes on here. You know, the left will say, oh yes, well, there are pedophiles that are white as well. But there aren't gangs of white pedophiles made up of brothers, cousins, uncles, and it's not accepted by the community as just normal behaviour, which it is in certain parts of these non-white communities. The report found the operation was ultimately prematurely closed down before it could complete its work, a decision that was driven by a desire to remove the resources rather than by having a sound understanding that all lines of inquiry had been successfully completed or exhausted. I wonder if there was any political interference there. I wonder if the Labour Party in Manchester had said that this needs to stop. We can't be investigating this. We can't risk inflaming the tensions between the Asian community and the white community. We can't risk this being exposed. It would make the BNP seem as if they're telling the truth. We can't possibly have that. I mean, that plays into this as well. We know that even now, 17 years after this, in places like Germany, they say, well, we can't report on these crimes because it would help the Alternative for Deutschland party. They would get more supporters if we exposed these crimes. We can't do anything that's going to be beneficial to a so-called far-right party. Maybe the so-called far-right are the ones that are actually speaking the truth here and that are actually coming up with sensible ideas of how to combat this. The authorities knew that many children were being subjected to the most profound abuse and exploitation, but did not protect them from the perpetrators, it said. And I'm sure if it had tried to protect them from the perpetrators, they would have said, oh, you're just being racist. You're just being racist, not allowing us to see this friend of ours. We know that that's what they've said to the police when the police have tried to arrest them. They've just claimed that it's racism. The excuse for everything, it seems. It added its authors had considered a sample of cases from the time, and in each case they found that they cannot offer any assurance that the alleged offences were appropriately addressed by either Greater Manchester Police or Manchester City Council. So from that we can guess that just about every case from that time had irregularities in it and it wasn't properly investigated, because they've just pulled out these cases at random. I mean, the chances are they probably looked for cases that they could find that were properly investigated. I mean, the authorities don't want to make themselves look bad, do they? And the fact that they're saying this, it means that the evidence was damning and that they couldn't get away from it. And that's why they're having to admit this. So you can pretty much say just about all the cases that were investigated, there would have been failings and they won't have been investigated properly. And basically, Asian men have a get-out-of-jail-free card, don't they? They are not going to be investigated in the same way that white men would be investigated. I mean, everybody should be investigated in the same way. We should all be equal under the law. And because of hate speech laws and discrimination laws And the whole narrative that surrounds this word racist, certain parts of Britain don't get investigated in the same way that other parts of Britain do. We are unequal under the law, thanks to these attempts to prop up multiculturalism and diversity. We are no longer equal under the law. Innocent young girls like this are not having their cases investigated properly, because it's been seen as more important not to inflame community tensions. The report also found 8 men identified in Operation Augusta had gone on to commit serious sexual offences. Is it not serious enough, raping these other girls? Serious sexual offences including rapes of girls aged both under and over 16, after the operation was ended, and that one suspect vehicle uncovered in the initial investigation was linked to a Greater Manchester police officer, who was later dismissed from the force. So there we go. We have an indication of one of the reasons why the resources may have been removed. Because one of the people involved in these rapes was a Greater Manchester police officer. Do I really need to point out that if we still had a white police force, that couldn't have happened? Speaking after the publication of the report, Mrs. Agoglia said she was lied to by the police and social workers at the time of her granddaughter's death, adding, "Where were they when Victoria was being abused? I told them, and I told them. Vicky came down time and time again to me, and she told me herself what these men had done to her." I wonder if it was an Asian man on the police help desk when she was lied to. I wonder if this chap that was linked to it, this GMP officer whose vehicle was linked to this, I wonder if he had a direct involvement with her. Apologising for the multi-agency failings, Manchester Mayor Andy Burnham said the report made extremely difficult reading, but it was only by fully facing up to past failures that we will be able to correct them. He said Victoria's death should have been a wake-up call, as it exposed a network of paedophiles brazenly abusing young people in care. Why isn't he pointing out the reason why it wasn't a wake-up call? I mean, it's not just that this girl was murdered. The fact is that at the time you had the BNP, you had Nick Griffin, you had Mark Collett, all trying to wake Britain up to what was going on, and all the people that were trying to raise the alarm were being attacked and being called racists and being taken to court for hate speech for trying to point this out. The BBC were ridiculing it and mocking it and saying that this doesn't go on. And it was going on. And the people that were trying to prevent it from happening and trying to draw attention to it, they were the ones that were ostracized, rather than the community who was responsible for this. I'm not saying everybody in the Asian community is responsible for this, but they are responsible for the part of their community that was doing this. We are responsible for our people. We can't just say that, we can't just distance ourselves from our own people, from our own community. We are responsible for them. Andy Burnham continued, "Each and every one of those abusers should have been brought to justice. But appallingly, the most escaped and some were left to re-offend." And again, think, this is just an investigation into what went on in Manchester. It also went on in Rochester, gone on in Sheffield, gone on in Oxford, gone on all over the country. He added, "The system was guilty of appalling failings, and that going forward we will have a zero-tolerance approach to child sexual exploitation of any kind." And that's admitting it there, isn't it? That is admitting there that a certain type of child sexual exploitation was being tolerated by the authorities. And why was it being tolerated? It was being tolerated because we've been told that it's somehow morally wrong to discriminate against certain parts of society. It's just pattern recognition. How can it be morally wrong to avoid danger? How can it be morally wrong to identify the people responsible for the crime? And this is where it ends up. You end up with certain members of society getting away with carrying out the most heinous crimes. And the people that pointed out, the people that were warning about this, Mark Cullett and Nick Griffin, they end up being charged with hate speech for pointing it out. If only the police and the politicians and Greater Manchester Council had listened to the people that were pointing it out. If only people would listen to us today, then they would be able to avoid worse consequences in the future. Diversity is not a strength. Diversity is the cause of most of society's problems today. Got another news story just to finish up with. Again, it's about the authorities covering up the identity of the people committing the crimes. The identity of up to 2,000 sex offence suspects who are still at large is being kept from the public because of fears over privacy rules. Of the 1,757 identified as being wanted in connection with crimes including rape, trafficking and selling children for sex, police felt able to name only five. A third of forces failed even to reveal the number of sex suspects for whom they have no known whereabouts. And this comes from the Mirror, a left-wing publication. We asked the UK's 45 territorial police forces to give us the names, ages and pictures of the missing suspects under freedom of information laws. We hoped our readers might be able to help track some of them down so that courts could bring closure for victims or clear the names of those wrongly accused. Only two-thirds of the forces responded to our request. Now, why might this be? Why might it be that the authorities don't want the British public to know who are the most wanted criminals? Couldn't possibly be because there's a large number of non-white faces amongst those most wanted criminals. Couldn't possibly be because of that. I mean, we just heard this news story about this investigation and all these young white girls were failed because of failures in the investigation and resources being removed from it. And we know the reason for that. We know that it was because of political correctness. And they say that they're going to learn from their mistakes. And yet, they're still not going to tell us who these 2,000 sex offence suspects are, who are still at large. Of the 1,757 known to be on the wanted list, just three forces revealed the identities of any of those they were seeking. They named five suspects between them, out of 41 who they wanted to trace. Most chose not to release names at all, even though some alleged offenders have been at large for nearly a decade. And of course, if they release the names, again, you're going to know what ethnicity they are most of the time. And although they do not have to give a reason, some told us names were withheld for fear of breaking data or privacy laws. Tony Vitale, partner and head of the data protection at JMW Solicitors, said public bodies are not required to identify any third parties, regardless of what they have done or are suspected to have done. But he stressed that while the law lets public bodies such as the police withhold details, it does not always prohibit them from releasing the information. Mr. Vitale explained that cops have to rule on the fairness, lawfulness and necessity in order to decide whether to hand over the names of suspects. Of course, if we were told what the suspects look like, maybe people could avoid being the victims of further crimes by these suspects. And that was always the reason before why suspects' descriptions were given. The Human Rights Act, which also protects privacy, says names can be released by public bodies if they are a danger or to prevent crime. So it's not like the Human Rights Act is preventing this. The Home Office told us, those suspected of involvement in sexual offences are circulated on the police national computer with robust measures to ensure suspects are found quickly. Nothing in law prevents forces from sharing the names or images of suspects if it is considered to be in the interest of public safety. This is a decision for individual forces. What could it possibly be then? What possible reason could there be for the police not wanting to share the names or images of suspects? I mean, what public safety, whose safety are they most interested in here? Are they most interested in protecting the innocent public so that they can avoid these people? Or are they most interested in protecting these suspects? 2,000 of them, sex offence suspects, still at large. Again, I would suggest that there is political correctness here. And they don't want us to know who these suspects are because a large portion of them will be non-white. They say they're going to learn from their mistakes. But I have yet to see evidence of that. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.